Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, ma'am, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Wednesday, February the 4th, 2026. 2-4-26, all even numbers, 15 minutes past the hour. And we've been talking about it all morning here. The headline yesterday, Ayers Ratliff, former 2nd Ward City Councilman, not guilty on all charges stemming from a rape allegation in May of 2024. We've been on top of this story since day one, and here we are today. It's been an interesting morning, recounting what happened at the trial. And the best thing I can come up with at this particular point is, how does something like this happen? How does something like this happen? I mean, you look at it, and you think of what we've been through with this trial. Lawsuits filed, lawsuits dropped, cases dismissed, charges brought back. That this has went on for 2 years. It really is an unbelievable thing. And to come to this resolution, here we are, but Ayers Ratliff not guilty on all charges. And as I said, I do want to be clear, we did reach out to Marion County Prosecutor Ray Grogan, offered him the chance to call in. We hope he does. We reached out to Ayers Ratliff. We'd like to hear from him. Of course, we'd like him to come in, maybe in the next couple days, for a sit-down interview to talk about a lot of this. But we certainly would be interested to hear from him this morning as well. Just some reaction from this whole thing from the last 2 years. People have had to be very silent about all these things over the last 2 years. And now knowing what the verdict was yesterday, it'd be interesting to hear. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If you have anything to say, that's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz if you have anything to say about this or anything else. Certainly is an interesting topic. And when we put the story up last night that Ayers was not guilty on all charges, I think there were over 100 comments, over 100 reactions. I don't know how many shares, 30-something shares. You know, it's a big story. It's a big story that's been with people for quite some time now. So it's fascinating in a lot of ways. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. I want to add real quick because I want to hear what other people have to say. You might not hear from Ayers for a minute because there are still charges pending against his wife.
That's true. That's true.
And she is scheduled to start trial February 17th.
Really?
So that's just but a few weeks away, yeah. And people on the internet last night were talking about, well, why was his wife charged if he's not guilty? Okay, those charges were added the second indictment. And if same with Ayers had a couple charges added then, too. And if people really want to follow this timeline and think, I'm going to give you the what the child endangerment charges are. Have I ever told you how Ray said she's endangered? She's been charged with child endangerment and intimidation of a witness is what she's been charged with. And the reason she was charged with those crimes was because she took the child out of school and put her in online school. And I think you and I did discuss that because we were talking about what a bullying situation it would be if even Ray was trying to say that was a punishment, that she took her out of school and put her in online school. I mean, state of Ohio doesn't have a problem with it. They don't care where your kid goes to school as long as they're going to school. They took her out of her activities, and that was because after listening to Ayers testify, he lost his job, his insurance, and everything the very next day after he was arrested. Didn't even have health insurance to be able to take his daughter to get the counseling that she needed. So Heidi has been charged with taking her out of school, putting cameras in the house because of the issue. They were afraid the child might try to hurt herself. There's no mental health issues. She's made these allegations. The family's being ripped apart. Plus, she'd also made those kind of allegations. It was kind of a backup for Heidi to protect herself, not knowing what was going on at that time. And so the cameras, taking her out of school and taking her out of her activities have that they could no longer afford have equated to felony charges for Heidi. And my thought, Ray charged her with those back then to make Ayers plea to something, to be cruel and to force Ayers to plea to something because he was trying to rip the whole family apart and basically put the kid into foster care. They've made it through that. They've stuck together. I assume Ray Grogan has probably not made it out of bed this morning, if I had to guess, or he's trying to slowly... quietly plot his escape from the country, just going to leave the country. But if he doesn't drop her charges, it's we need to get like our little LED torches and pitchforks at this point and just go rally around that building.
Well, and I think that's why it would be good to hear from Ray at this point. And from Ayers at this point, I certainly understand certainly not wanting to discuss certain things because of the trial his wife would face. But I didn't see the piece last night on Channel 4, but whatever he did there...
I'll send it to you. It's very, very short.
As I've said before...
We need more than that from him. We need the full 2 hours with you.
Right. Well, and I guess what I want to say is, and listen, I love Colleen Marshall. Everybody knows that. We have a good relationship, and I'm glad that he did that last night. But we live in a different world now where everybody didn't see that. So just to hear maybe even that from him this morning, just a reaction to the verdict, you know, would be good at this point. Because not everybody saw that.
Right. And I do hope that he, quote-unquote, spills the beans here sooner rather than later. And I hope that Ray just does the right thing. This is his chance. Do the right thing and just dismiss the case against Heidi. Make it sound like he's doing it because he's such a good man. I don't want this family's been through enough. I'm going to respect what the jury said, and I'm just going to let this be. Sort of thing.
Well, I think
I forgot to tell you, the rape was supposed to have happened. Heidi was supposed to have been sitting downstairs while this 6-minute rape occurred.
There we go.
Yeah. Oh, hey, you know what Ray Grogan said? This is how he's gotten sort of somewhere where he is, because I did ask him to sign Jason Schauber's petition for county commissioner after trial one day, and he did it, and he was very gregarious and likable and nice, and we both know we don't like each other, but we were able to stand there and fake it to each other's faces while I collected a signature. So I understand why people like him, but this would be his time to just bow out and do the right thing. Come up, get one of those other 5 attorneys to come up with something strategic to say, but release a statement and just let this family have their peace. And now pay the piper.
Well, and he signed Jason Schauber's petition.
He certainly did. No, that wasn't the day he cross-examined Jason Schauber. But now, that part, I got to just get this part in. I didn't know any of this until Schauber testified. Jason Schauber's, Heidi babysat Jason Schauber's grandchild. And Jason Schauber's grandchild was there the day the Ayers got arrested. And his son got a frantic call just like, go get your daughter because the cops are there. The police, Heidi babysat other kids. She babysat, I think they said, about 5 or so. Not one of those kids or their families were questioned about whether or not they had been subjected to any type of abuse.
Huh.
Jason Schauber was losing his mind because he could not get anyone to tell him what was going on. And he went to Tom Robbins and told him, Tom, what's going on? You can talk to my granddaughter. You can talk to me. You can talk to my son. Like, what's going on? And Robbins told him, we got him. They did no other investigation whatsoever. They focused in on that. He could have been raping dozens of children, and none of it was investigated.
Wait, Tom Robbins, the former
safety director
said, mm-hmm. We got him.
He said that to Jason Schauber. Because Jason Schaber went to his office and said, Tom, what is going on? Jason said, this is like a week. This is court testimony. This is nothing I'm privy to. This is public record. Jason said that he went to Tom Robbins' office and asked him, what is going on? Because I guess Jason had been calling everybody and nobody would tell him anything. And Robbins told him, basically, we kind of think this is a one-off thing, crossed his fingers, put him in the air, and said, we got him. We got him. Said that to Jason Schaber.
So anybody else we're aware of, any names we would recognize that were in on this?
Well, Jay McDonald was the one that called BCI in. Well, this is an interesting story. So everyone's calling Ayers. He worked at Grove City, somewhere south of Columbus at that point in time. He was driving home, and everyone's asking him, what's going on? Why is BCI at your house? BCI was at his house before he even got home from work, okay? So, but they still didn't have the warrant. Why? Because he was in jail before they had the warrant. He called Jay McDonald because he couldn't get anyone else to answer. Ayers called Jay McDonald and asked him, what is going on with my daughter? Because Ayers thought that she was in trouble for the video we discussed in hour number one. And that the police were at their house because kiddie porn on her phone. Not, you know what I mean. So he's thinking his daughter is being arrested or that she was beaten up because she had been threatened so badly and had to be escorted from classes to the car, etc. And that someone had finally gotten a hold of her. McDonald told him, no, everything's fine. Your daughter's right here with me. Come into the police station. Come into TD. We'll get this all sorted out. Ayers goes from work, comes home not knowing what the heck's going on, talks to Jay McDonald, goes up to PD. They tell him, there, your daughter said you sexually assaulted her, and they arrest him. They take all of his stuff. They didn't even use the word rape until they took him to jail.
Well, there we go.
In the jail was the first time he heard it.
It's
in the jail was the first time he had heard the word rape.
Well, maybe that's I think Jay McDonald is named in the lawsuit. So.
Oh yes, he is. He's named in the lawsuit. There's plenty of it to go around as far as the way they questioned the daughter and all of that stuff. But that didn't make it into trial because Ray didn't want that to be heard. So he didn't call the witnesses that would lay that foundation for that to be able to be brought up. So yeah, he did a lot of strategic. What he did in this case was strategic ways to keep the truth out, not bring the truth in to convict somebody. And it was pretty disgusting. I still have faith in the jury system, though, and that visiting judge. That worked the way it was supposed to. The rest of it did not.
Well,
nothing.
It's
until yesterday worked the way it was supposed to.
Well, it's very interesting, and like I say, we'll see how it plays out, and who knows who will call in the next half hour.
Take care, Scott.
Thanks. Bye-bye. And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. What a fascinating thing here. I mean, not fascinating if you're going through it. Well, maybe it is fascinating. I don't know. Certainly not pleasant if you're going through it. But you gotta wonder, after 2 years, I mean, 2 years of this going on, you gotta wonder what the feeling is this morning from a lot of these people. Certainly, Ayers Ratliff, first and foremost at this point, after being found not guilty on all charges. Ray Grogan, you got to wonder where that's going to go. As far as his career and upcoming trial, which I guess is still pending, with Heidi Ratliff. And, you know, it's an elected position, county prosecutor. How does this affect him as we go on down the line? I don't know, but the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have anything to say, feel free to give us a buzz. 29 minutes past the hour, but certainly a culmination of 2 years, of nearly 2 years, of back and forth and quotes, accusations, charges, lawsuits, you name it, it's happened. But here we are today with some kind of resolution in this particular case. And again, you have to wonder, how did it get to this point? How did we get this far? And what does it all mean? I mean, how does the public feel in regard to a lot of this? How, I don't know. It's just a very, very interesting story as you go along. And I come back to the point I was making in the beginning of the show. What evidence was there in the beginning that would make somebody so sure that Ayers was guilty back in May of 2024? And that is what is so baffling about this, is normally a prosecutor would be very, very, very cautious in a case like this, because it does deal with a sitting politician. We've seen a lot of this recently. We've seen it in Columbus. We've seen it around the state. We've seen it nationally. I mean, usually you're very, 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 very cautious in a case like this. But I don't know. I would like to hear from Ray. I mean, maybe there is some explanation here. I don't know. Maybe there is. Again, the best we can come up with is conjecture. And it'd also be good to hear from Ayers. You know, I know there are certain things he probably doesn't want to talk about at this point, but hearing a reaction would be good. So that would work as well. So if they're out there, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. 31 minutes past the hour here. WGH Radio Talk Time. We would love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. And if somebody is going to call in, I think we do have a guest coming up at a quarter till. So if anybody can call in, now would be the time. Wednesday, February the 4th, 2026, 31 minutes past the hour. And again, I certainly understand there are certain things that people would not want to talk about at this particular point, but we do have some time here in the next, 13 minutes to talk to somebody. 740-383-9944. If you have any thoughts on any of this. But again, the story this morning, Ayers Ratliff not guilty on all charges. And like I say, I don't know if Ayers is listening or not, but we've got 13, 12 minutes left here now. It'd be great if he could call in. I think we would just like to know at this particular point how this feels, what the morning after feels like at this particular point after this 2 years of whatever it's been, I guess is what we would call it at this particular point. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
It's only in Marion, Ohio.
I know. Aren't we lucky?
You know, Scott, if people would just always tell the truth, they wouldn't have to have a good memory. And how about do unto others as you would have others do unto you?
Well, what is your reaction to this after following it for nearly 2 years?
Well, I never thought there was anything to it in the very beginning because there was too many hurdles, too many things that us old people says that just doesn't make sense.
Well, and I think that's what left a lot of people scratching their heads today.
And if everyone would just start telling the truth, even if it hurts, if they would just tell the truth, they wouldn't have to back off. And the sad part of it is, it doesn't matter if he was found not guilty. He'll still carry that on his back.
Well, and that's the problem here. And you know, I've said this long before the verdict came in, is that Ray Grogan and Ayers and his family, unfortunately, none of them are going to get out from under this because of any verdict, because of all that's been written. I mean, today is a day where the story is the verdict, but that goes away and then just becomes part of something that people remember. I mean, think of the Judge Warner case. How many people truly remember the verdict in the trial? They don't. They just remember what happened.
Yeah, that's, but like I said, if these people that are trying, I don't know what they're shooting for. I mean, they've already got an office. All they have to do is just damn tell the truth, and then they don't have to have a good memory. And there's been a lot of stammering around. Maybe they didn't actually lie, but they certainly did not tell the truth like the truth is. And you look at all of it. You stand back and you say, you should have known better than that, for crying out loud.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of people are saying that this morning. Hey, thanks for calling.
Hey, keep on keeping on.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Again, we've got a special guest coming up here at 9:45, so we've got about 10 minutes now. So, you know, the more people we hear from, the better the reaction this morning, which we can take for about 10 more minutes of this particular story. And, you know, what a story it has been. And we'll continue on. There are obviously other things and points with this story that are not going to go away. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz if you have anything you would like to say or on your mind at this particular point. And as I said, and I'm just reiterating this because I think it's important to say that we did reach out to Ray Grogan. We did reach out to Ayers Ratliff. And if we hear from either one of them, we hear from either one of them. You know, we put the message out there. We would like to hear from them, obviously, the morning after this. But, you know, we can only do what we can do. We can just hope that possibly we do hear something. 740-383-9944. Again, if anybody's got anything to say, feel free to give me a buzz, and we can certainly talk about it here on this Wednesday morning. By the way, the weather, 14 degrees, which as of late, I think we would probably consider a heat wave. 14, you know what, yesterday was not bad at all. We got up in the 20s, and I think that it just gave people a lot of energy. I don't know what it was. We got up into the 20s, and people thought it was a heat wave, and they were excited. So 14 degrees, I think, is doing well by a lot of people today. But again, if you have some reaction you would like to share, we have about 8 minutes before we're going to go to our special interview here, live interview, which we're looking forward to. Feel free to buzz in, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We certainly would enjoy hearing from anybody who might have an opinion on this big story of the day. Ayers Ratliff not guilty on all charges yesterday in a courtroom here in Marion after a two-year saga that started with a rape allegation back in May of 2024. And it has went on and on and on and on. And, you know, as you look at this, as you think about it, you have to think, was this the culmination of it yesterday? Is that the end? Well, doesn't sound like it. Sounds like a civil trial up in Toledo is probably on the way. At this point, Heidi, his wife, is still set to stand trial. So there is that. There are more moving pieces in this particular case. So it's not really over, so I don't know that we can call it a culmination, but we certainly can say that we have a definitive ruling here. But as I said, I look at the social media comments, and some people are just still absolutely embedded, entrenched in what they believe about this trial up until this point. Let's see. From one of our listeners out there this morning, I think Ayers wants to wait until all the court procedures are done before any comments are made. That would be in his best interest to remain silent. I am so glad of the not guilty verdict, and it would be happy and would be happy if he wins the other civil suits. So there you go, from one of our listeners out there this morning. And maybe that's it. And again, I at this point, we can talk about the trial and we can talk about the accusations at some other point. I just think a reaction to the verdict is very interesting. At this point, I think that is what we all wonder. Who maybe did not see the news report last night. But if anybody in the listening audience wants to react as well as any people involved in this, feel free to give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. And we've got a guest coming up here in about 5 minutes. So if you want to react, be quick about it, because we've only got 5 minutes before our guest is going to call in. And we certainly do want to go to that. And what more can be said at this particular point? It sounds like the majority of our listeners out there are happy for Ayers this morning, happy of the verdict, realize this is probably not the end. There are still other things pending at this point. But holy mackerel. What a 2-year period it's been. What a 2-year period it has been. Story, you know, I always talk about stories that move and stories that don't move. Well, this story moved. This story was something, there always was some kind of a new twist. Every so often, every few months, you would get a new piece of the puzzle, as it were. There would be something, and you would say, well, okay, that's interesting, and this side is doing this now, and this side is doing that. I think that's kind of what this has been, and why this case kept moving on and on and on. And I guess that brings us to now. 42 minutes past the hour. Phone lines open, 740-383-9944. And again, we're going to have our special guest here momentarily. Go ahead.
Are you going to the mayor's State of the City address tonight?
You know, I'm not sure yet. I don't know.
Oh, man, you got to go. You got to go and report. It'd be curious to see how large of an audience he gets. And then if it is a large audience, how many of them are the congregants of the church?
Well, it'll be interesting to know. It is a Wednesday night, so I'm sure there will be church folk there.
Well, maybe that's why he's holding it, so he would have a larger crowd than he would at City Hall.
Well, you know, I don't know if that does him any favors, but who knows? Who knows?
Well, you know, he's stepped in a big pile, and he ain't going to be coming out smelling like a rose. Well, to a better tomorrow.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yes, the mayor's State of the City is tonight, I believe, 6 p.m. at the Nazarene Church. You know, it is interesting that it is scheduled on a church night. I believe that the Nazarene Church still has services or some kind of activities going on Wednesday night. So, I don't know. Well, in other news, in Marion, Vidya, our treasurer for just a few days, about a month, is now our auditor. Michael Bodine, service director, public service director for the city, has resigned, effective February the 13th, I believe. Says he's going back into the private sector. That's interesting. So there's a lot of news going on outside of the Ratliff trial, and I'm sure that we will talk about that as the days go along. And hey, don't forget, our groundhog predicted an early spring. Warren Groundhog Harding, which this year was President Warren G. Harding, got up out of the grave and came over here and made the weather prediction with the mystical pizza for an early spring this year. Are we going to get one? Hey, it kind of felt like it yesterday. Maybe there is something to the groundhog. I don't know. It's fascinating to go on down the road and see how this all plays out with the groundhog. I don't know what signifies six more weeks of winter or an early spring. I don't think anybody really has any definitive answer to that particular question. So, you know, it is what it is, they say at this particular point. And as we go on down the road, our final 15 minutes this morning, I wanted to spend with somebody who certainly has been on top of this case. Last night doing a report on the 11 o'clock news with Ayers and Rocky Ratliff. The headlines yesterday afternoon, former 2nd Ward City Councilman Ayers Ratliff not guilty on all charges relating to a rape allegation in May of 2024 of a minor. We now turn to one of my favorite people, one of the best reporters you're going to find, if not the best, in the state of Ohio and maybe beyond, Colleen Marshall with NBC4. Colleen?
That's a lot of pressure, Scott. How are you, Scott? We were trading phone tag yesterday, so it's good to hear from you.
Yes, good to talk with you, and I know people saw your report last night. What's your overall take on what happened here in Marion yesterday?
Well, I will tell you, I agreed with one thing the prosecutor said. The jury system plays out, and we must respect it. And I think we put citizens to work and give them the evidence. And in this case, it took about 3 hours on a case this serious that's been going on for 2 years. So I think the jury members were very convinced that the man was not guilty.
What is your take on that in and of itself? This took nearly 2 years. May 2024, the original allegation was made. There were indictments. There were re-indictments. A civil trial pends at this point. And yet, 3 hours to come up with a verdict?
You know, there were a couple of things that I found surprising about this case, Scott. And number one, Ayers Ratliff was on the stand, put on the stand by the defense to tell his story, his background in the city of Marion, but more significantly, his relationship, and I know we don't publicly identify her, but his relationship with the child, his belief that the child who was involved in this case had some mental health issues and needed help and support. He was on the stand for a day. The prosecution did not ask him a single question. And this is without, I don't know the strategy of the prosecutor. He told me in an interview yesterday that was a strategic move on their part, that they decided to let Ayers Ratliff tell his story and have his say and then not question him. I will tell you, just as a citizen, if the government accuses someone of a crime that I think we can all agree is one of the most heinous crimes you can accuse a citizen of the rape and abuse of a child, and you have the opportunity to publicly question that individual who you've spent 2 years vilifying, and you don't take it, you don't have one question for the jury to hear. I think, you know, that might have been strategy. I was confounded by the decision to not even question someone who you are accusing publicly of this crime.
Well, and you know,
so that was surprising to me.
Well, starting off this morning, one of the big questions that we talked about here on the air was our prosecutor, Ray Grogan, within 24 hours of this allegation being made, had released videos to the media, quotes came along for 2 years, we have the evidence, we have this, we have that, so on and so forth. And yet, what in the end did the evidence end up being? What, no questions, as you said, for Ayers when he's on the stand?
Right.
How do you justify that in the end?
Yeah, again, it was a trial strategy. Maybe they knew something that we don't, but when you're in trial, everything that you know that you think should convince this member, this citizen panel, of his guilt should be on the table. There was no DNA evidence introduced. I remember early on, there was talk that we've got DNA. Where is it? There were no DNA evidence, no questioning of the suspect. There were many things about the case. And it only took them 3 hours. In a case like this, you think, okay, they're giving it, they're all citizens have given up a week and a half of their life to listen to this. And it did not take too long for them to be not convinced. And, you know, we've got to be careful here because remember, Heidi Ratliff is still facing charges.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
So how do they now take her to court and convince her in relation to the same alleged incident when their main suspect was found not guilty?
Well, and obviously, being in the media, as you are, what is highly fascinating to me here is that being a sitting councilman, which Ayers was when this happened, the prosecutor and the team around him had to know that this was going to be a newsworthy story. Clearly, there have been cases going on in Columbus and around the state and the country. So you would think, in a case like this that you know is going to be covered and paid attention to, maybe more specifically than others would, that you would hold back certain comments if you knew them not to be true, and that didn't seem to happen here.
Yeah, well, you know what happens? I've seen this happen before. Well, one thing, let's remember, once it did become public, and there was knowledge that a council member was accused of this heinous crime, the media was all over it. So possibly, you know, when we say, well, he's out there talking about it. Well, he's out there talking about it because people like you and me are asking him about it. You know, we were going to ask a lot of questions. And so it does put people on, in any of these cases, on guard, it should put them, because they know we're coming after them. We were all trying to get information. We were trying to, to interview Mr. Ratliff himself. And then, of course, you had a prominent local attorney up there, Rocky Ratliff, who a lot of people know. And so we were questioning him as well because he was acting, you know, as the defense in this case. So these public cases, even though I'm part of the problem because the media makes them so, I hate to use the word salacious, but the media pays attention to cases like this. So there's on both sides, there should always be a certain measure of temerity to know that you're going to be questioned about this case. But, you know, this went on for 2 years, and no matter where you fall on your opinion of this case, there is no doubt that this ruined Ayers Ratliff's life.
Well, and
the life of a child.
Well, and that's a big part of this morning is that, yes, guilty charges have been returned, but can he ever recover from this? Can the family ever recover from this? I mean, these are heavy-duty charges that will be on the internet forever. They will be in people's minds forever. And I was scrolling social media this morning, looking in the comment section of a lot of these stories, and there are people who just don't believe that he is innocent. So how do you recover?
Yeah, that's always the case, isn't it?
It's
always the case. Certainly he'll have a measurement of recovery, and he certainly probably feels a measure of vindication. But I don't think anyone could ever recover fully from this. As he said in the interview that I did with him last night, on day one, he lost his job. So he lost his health insurance, he lost friends, he lost his standing in his community, he lost his connection to his church, he lost his public reputation, and that can never be fully restored. So there's no happy ending to this story.
Well, you talked to Ray Grogan, the prosecutor, yesterday. You talked to Ayers. What was your feeling when you were talking with both of them? What was the feeling from you?
You know, quite honestly, this is my personal take that I probably shouldn't have as a journalist, but I felt sadness. I felt, I know that he's relieved, but Ayers I'm talking about, but he also knows that these charges are still hanging over his wife. And he also knows that there's a child at the center of this who can, you know, who's facing challenges. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they leave town, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah, I mean...
And from the prosecutor, I think I will tell you what he said, and there's a measure of truth to this. He said, this is what he does every day. He follows what he believes to be the evidence. He presents it to a grand jury. A grand jury finds reason to bring the formal charges, and he takes the case as far as it goes. And then he moves on. And it's important to remember, he said he would do this again. He would do it again. So in both cases, I didn't come away from either interview thinking, well, that's a good ending. Because I just felt sad. I felt sad, especially, you know, I'm a parent. I felt sad for the child more than anything. Because imagine being in her shoes. It's just, and we've got to remember she's a troubled child, a child.
Is there anything we can learn from this? Is there anything you have learned from this that we can take away as maybe a silver lining or a learning experience down the road?
Boy, it's hard to find a happy lesson, but I will say I always think it's good for us to allow a jury to let this play out. And I think that we should all, whoever these members of the jury are, obviously they're anonymous, you know, they spent time listening to all of this and then unanimously came to a conclusion. I think the jury system generally works. I mean, we've seen mistrials on some high-profile cases here in Columbus where the jury could not reach decision. And, you know, involving police officers on trial for opening fire. So, you know, maybe that's also the way. Maybe that's how it should work play out in those cases where there's not enough evidence to convict and yet not enough willpower to let it go, you know.
Yeah.
I wish I had a big lesson at the end of this other than... For Ayers Ratliff, there is vindication, and now hopefully his family can rebuild if his wife has the same vindication.
Is there anything we, the media, can take away from this?
I always think about that, and you and I have talked about this before. We impact people's lives because we put them on public display. And I think what we can take from this is that we had an obligation to hear both sides out. And we have an obligation, when we keep an eye on public officials, to question whether they did their duty properly. And I'm sure in Marion there are some of those questions tonight. I mean, you've been following this probably even more closely than I have. I've been trying to cover it from a distance, and we've certainly had reporters up there. But I think the people of Marion have to take a good look at this and say, you know, a man's life was ruined. Did this play out the way it should have? You know, that's not a decision for you or me to make, Scott. That's a decision for the people of Marion.
Well, and the thing here that I've been saying for quite a long time now is that I and maybe we've put an exclamation point on it this morning. You know, prosecutor is an elected position. This was a very high-profile case that got covered outside of Marion for Ray Grogan. Ayers Ratliff was a sitting city councilman. That's not the case anymore. ruined a life there. We've got his family, which has faced a lot of this burden. And what are the repercussions going to be? We've got a verdict in this trial, and there'll be other trials forthcoming, we believe, at this point, and upcoming. But, you know, can any of these people, not just Ayers, but Ray, anybody who was involved in this in any kind of way, can they fully ever recover at this point?
I think people will always remember this case, because not just because it was so high profile, but because of the nature of the crime. And I can't imagine there are many people in Marion who don't have an opinion one way or the other. And, you know, this case, even if Heidi Ratliff is found not guilty, 2 weeks from now, her trial is set to begin, if they go through with the trial. But even if she's found not guilty, they've got a defamation and malicious prosecution case hanging out there in federal court against the prosecutors. Mm. So we're not done with this case. And it will be interesting to see. Certainly, I asked both of them how this case will affect, down the road, the defamation case. And certainly Rocky Ratliff knows that this helps him immensely in his effort to do this federal case. And I imagine he's going to be the attorney going forward on that. But the prosecutor said, you know, he doesn't think it'll affect it. He doesn't think that long-term, you know, he was just doing his job, and that will be his defense, that he was following what he believed to be the evidence, that he presented it twice to a grand jury, twice a grand jury indicted, and it was his job to follow that through the jury process, and that will be his part of his defense. But it's going to be a long time before we're done with this case, unless the county's insurance ends up reaching a non-disclosed settlement, which happens quite frequently in cases like this. And the insurance carrier might look at this and say, this guy lost his job, lost his home, lost his, you know, his reputation up until that point was very good. And the community, you know, they may want to settle and not even take it to trial. So it'll be interesting to see how this ends.
And Colleen, one question I want to get in here before we run out of time. When you were talking with Prosecutor Grogan and asking questions like that, do you think this verdict will affect the civil case? Do you think, would you do this again? Yes. You've interviewed a lot of people. Do you think that's genuine on his behalf at this point? Or again, just something you have to say because it's high profile and he didn't come out on the side he wanted to yesterday?
I found him to be very professional and very, you know, very realistic, I guess is the word I would use, about what his duties are as a prosecutor. And I happen to know one of the other men who was a prosecutor on this case, and he is, from the beginning, thought that they were doing it the right way. And honestly, I think they believe that this might come down on their side. So, I mean, it's certainly his strongest defense. I was doing my job. I presented it twice to grand juries, which are also citizens. You can present evidence to grand juries, of course, that you cannot. There's a different standard of proof in a grand jury proceeding. And in a grand jury, they're only hearing from one side. The grand jury only hears from the prosecutor. So he's going to be able to say, I did my job. I went to a grand jury. I did it twice. They believed that he should be indicted. And I followed it through all the way till the end, and that's what my job is. Again, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Final question I want to slip in here before we run out of time. From the beginning, Ratliff's camp had said political retribution, retaliation. Ratliff was obviously a second ward city councilman. Do you get the, from what you've read and what you've paid attention to in regard to this case, do you get that feeling anywhere?
I did, actually, because again, this is just from my research and looking from, you know, news articles up there and frankly talking to you about it. He was often at odds with city government, asking questions that other people didn't want to hear about. He had conflicts sometimes with his own party. I certainly think you can't separate politics from this case. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, I can certainly understand. Well, Colleen Marshall, one of my favorite people, thank you for joining us this morning and filling in some of the gaps here as this continues on down the road. Colleen, sorry I missed your call yesterday, but...
and then I got busy, and then, you know, I'm at work until midnight, so I thought, oh, I'll go to call Scott, and it was like 10:30, and I thought, you know, he's on morning radio. I bet he doesn't want to call at 10:30 at night.
Well, I always appreciate it, Colleen. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Take care. All right. The one and only Colleen Marshall, NBC4. All right. We're done for this particular morning. We'll be back tomorrow. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
On January 30th, she is survived by her daughters, grandchildren, siblings, nephews, and nieces. Services are...